Don't you think you've given this one the old college try? This much effort's beneath you.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 7, Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. Speaking of effort that's beneath us.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hello, listeners. Here's what's coming up in the club. This Friday, July 24th, it's going to be Again With This, episode 297. Let's watch Paul Johansson in Mad Men. We will be discussing season 7, episode 12, Lost Horizon. You can find it on HBO Max. This episode is like, it's richer than I remembered when I just picked it at random for being heavy in Ferg content. That's the name of his character. But a lot goes on, actually. It's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
So to hear that conversation, go to againwiththispodcast.com/club. You can join for as low as $5 a month or $4 a month if you go annual. So please do. We'd love to see you.
Yeah.
Shall we begin?
Yes.
Our B plot, Pacey discovers finance guys are pigs. I suppose I should say not all finance guys, but, you know, they're not a protected class. They know what they are. It's fine.
No, especially when they're on a TV show. Just
that.
Assume.
Great point. We open here in the boiler room. Rinaldi's walking through distributing plane tickets because apparently all the guys passed their Series 7 exam. So they're all going to New Orleans for 24 hours and they're leaving basically right now. They're not, because it's 2002. You got to get to the airport like 90 minutes ahead. Maybe there's a boiler room private plane, but I doubt it. One commercial break and some very shoddy New Orleans B-roll later, we are at the bar in a casino with ceilings as high as a basketball arena, and some women are chatting up the dudes. One is telling Pacey it's too bad they're only in town for the night because there's a lot of fun stuff to do. Pacey's been there before with his girlfriend last summer. When this lady's like, "So you have a girlfriend?" Pacey says, "No, she dumped him," and suddenly this blonde has to get back to her friends. But it's been nice meeting Percy. Pacey turns around and tries to talk to yet another blonde, but she doesn't do guys in mourning. Rinaldi, who has apparently picked up a woman who looks like Marsha Gay Harden, as you can see in the visual aids.
I didn't notice it, but once it was pointed out to me, could not unsee it.
Yep. Rinaldi roasts Pacey for having no game. He thought Pacey would be his only competition, but he's making this too easy. Pacey claims he would be doing better if he were trying, but the women actually like sensitive guys. And Rinaldi's like, "Totally, that's what's been working for me." Pacey makes a face and the woman does not say anything or react at all, really. And then when we return to the casino, Rinaldi and Pacey approach an unattended blonde we're about to find out is named Denise. Rinaldi is openly smarmy, immediately gets shut down, and wanders off, leaving Pacey to apologize for Rinaldi and seem much more appealing by contrast. And when we see Pacey next, he's in the weirdly homey hall outside his hotel room making out with Denise. And I'm just, this is clearly the same place where everyone lives. Like, I think this is the building where Doug's apartment is and where Karen's apartment was, and possibly it's like the front hall at Ken Marino's place, Wilder. That was his name.
Oh,
I remember.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Anyway.
Yeah. God. All right.
You can see this in the visual aids. It just doesn't look like a modern hotel, but like maybe New Orleans still has ones that are like old rooming houses. I don't know. I've never been there.
No, me neither.
When Pacey can't immediately find his room key, Denise goes groping around his pants for it, and before long, she has found it, and they're rushing in together. And when we rejoin them, Pacey is making out with Denise. He's now sitting on the bed with her in his lap, but he apparently stopped to start a fire in the fireplace before they got down to it. Like, way to set a mood. When Pacey unzips Denise's dress, she makes sure this isn't his first time. He hopes he's not that bad, but she's like, "Most guys don't bother with this much foreplay since I'm a sure thing." Still not getting it, Pacey says he can't promise he'll ignore all her needs, but clip two.
"Seriously, and we've been at this for a while now, and your friend didn't pay for the night. Listen, it was a nice thing he was doing.
I can't. I'm sorry.
I don't have to leave.
No, you absolutely don't have to leave. You can stay here as long as you like, but I can't do this. I just thought you were a beautiful woman that I had met down in the bar and that there was a little something between us, but there's obviously not, and that's fine. But I now have to go talk to someone. So you stay here, and I'm really sorry.
She just said he didn't pay for the night. Like, she's working. Also, not to tell this lady her literal business, but it seems like the time to have this conversation was when he was making a fire. I'm just saying, there's a fire.
Yeah. Also, was she paid extra to kiss on the lips? Because not sure that's standard protocol. I guess everyone in the field handles it differently.
I don't assume that all the rules are, you know, conformed to Pretty Woman, but who knows?
Yeah.
And then we're in what is apparently a real New Orleans street. I looked this up, and this is one of the times they went on location and actually shot where they were purporting to go for this one scene. I don't know. I feel like someone had budget to spend and was like, that would just be fun to go. Let's do this.
And I guess it's not that far from North Carolina, which is, you know, where they are the rest of the time, being real.
Rinaldi's strolling with Marcia Gay Harden and all of the other boiler roomettes when Pacey runs him down and confronts him about what Pacey terms the little trick he just pulled. Phrasing. Rinaldi snorts that Pacey's not morally opposed to sex workers, is he? Clip 3.
Dude, Witter stuffed the whore.
Actually, I didn't, Kat, but you keep talking. You watch how quickly your night ends.
You didn't even do it? What, do you got a problem down there, Witter? Or did you just have trouble taking off your little dress?
Is this a joke to you? Because let me tell you, I'm not laughing.
Tell me about it. No, it was my idea of showing you a good time. Believe me, she didn't come cheap.
I forgot that about you. It all relates back to money. You buy your friends, you buy your women, you buy women for your friends. That way it's clean, it's easy, no emotion, right? But let me tell you, Rich, the only favor I want you to do for me is take me off your charity list, because you're pathetic, man.
Honestly, man, I'm not getting it. A couple solid hours with a really hot girl you never have to call again, and what, you play Tiddlywinks? I must be real dumb, because it seems like you owe me.
You're right. I do. I absolutely do.
Hey, Casey, I'm really impressed with your moral outrage. No need to get violent. When are you going to realize fighting the good fight's not worth it?
When is anyone going to realize that this entire storyline for him is not worth it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's only episode 7, so I guess it's going to be a while longer.
It is, but like, what's annoying about this, other than everything, is that none of the revelations of his storyline in each episode like seem to accrue. So every time we're with him and Rinaldi, it's like we're starting again from zero. Like in the next episode, spoiler, he's going to the Christmas party and like playing along with a plan that is behind the scenes and stuff. And it's like, why would you agree to do this after what happened in New Orleans? But it's like they just wipe his memory at the end of every episode.
Yeah. But the whole thing that touched off this trip is that he passed the Series 7. So now you don't have to stay there because you're employable in the sector. So unless you signed a contract saying, I'll work this off, which, no, it's not how it works. It's evident. They looked around at these storylines from the season and were like, this is the best we could do. And there is nothing else. We are ending the show. Thank God. It's just a real chore right now.
It sure is. Yet it's not quite over because we also have to, since they spent the money, I guess I said it's only for one scene. It's for two, because we also see him at dawn trudging through the improbably empty streets of New Orleans, presumably questioning all of his decisions for now. But again, as we said, he will have forgotten all of this by the time we see him again. So cool. Onto the A-plot. Audrey's spin-out sprays onto Jen and Joey, and Freeman finds his off-ramp. We open the storyline at Hell's Kitchen. Joey wraps up a shift and tells Eddie she has some stuff to do on campus. He knows that she is referring to Hetson's class, and she says she didn't want him to feel weird about it, adding that it's no fun now that Eddie's not there to spar with her. She tries to turn small talk into big talk, marveling that the semester is almost over and asking if he's going home for the holidays. Hey, where's he from anyway? Eddie references a clean, well-lighted place, sigh, before evading her question and asking where she is from. She primly tells him, and he snickers, that it's about right. His kind isn't allowed that far east. Okay. She tells him again that he has her wrong and that she's from the wrong side of the tracks, but doesn't give any more details, so he apparently doesn't believe her, but says he likes it when she gets all foxfire on him. Nothing like a fancy girl slumming it. There's also a Sam and Diane analogy in there. When she says she'll be back that night to rumble while he's working a double, he mocks her for hanging around work when she's not on shift. And Joey exposits that she'll be there to see Hell's Bells and tongues off to Worthington. On their way into pop culture class, Jen quizzes Jack about how things are going with David. Jack tells Jen to focus on her own furtive gropings. He doesn't want to jinx it, but eventually admits he and David are meeting for coffee in the cafeteria after class, and Jen shyly asks if she can join them since CJ might be there. Without saying what he knows about CJ's lack of interest in Jen, again, bad friend.
Yeah.
Jack gently suggests that she give up on CJ since this much effort is beneath her. But when she doesn't drop it, Jack says she can come for coffee. Hell, bring Grams too, which like, oh, yeah. Remember Grams as a student this year? That went absolutely nowhere.
Yes. More's the pity. I would much rather watch her than any of this boring taffy pulled nonsense.
Indeed. And again, another spoiler for a future episode. The next time we see Grams, she's in an episode and gets like no lines. She's basically a day player. It's very strange. Then Freeman enters and takes 3,000 words to announce that he's not going to be at Boston Bay next semester because his book got him invited to lecture in Chicago. But they're all welcome to come to his book signing that night.
LOL to all of this.
Jen asks if Jack knew anything about this, but of course he did not. Then we're with Joey as she returns to the dorm room. Audrey has half her wardrobe laid out on the bed. Joey jokes about her donating her Betsy Johnson to orphans in need, but Audrey's trying to find the right look for the gig and complains that because of Pacey, she got rid of all her sex clothes. When Joey says she'll be at the show tonight, giving her undivided attention since she won't be working, Audrey grumbles that it will be nice to see her face for a change. Clip 4.
I figured that you and Pacey would appreciate the private time.
Yeah, well, that was a great help. Now I've dumped Pacey 4 months too late and not a slutty frock has survived. Not a one, I tell you.
What? When did you dump Pacey?
Hello, mid-midlife crisis. Thanks for watching. Jeez, Joey, would it kill you to keep up?
Audrey, I'm sorry. I've been... Wait, when did this happen?
The horror that was Halloween. Whatever. I don't want to talk about it.
Audrey, how could you not tell me about this? Like, I know I've been gone a lot, but a little bathroom sidebar might have been in order.
I don't know. I guess I just figured that you'd hear it from Pacey in some how has life been since you conversation.
Of course not. We live together. I mean, just because I've been running around doesn't mean I don't have time for you.
Yeah, well, listen, it would have been great to hear your ex-girlfriend wisdom at the time, but now I'm kind of done reliving it.
Okay.
As fine as I am with Joey getting ripped a new one for being a bad friend, because she is.
Yes.
And annoying, because she is. Mm-hmm. What has she been, quote, running around doing?
Yes.
It's not like she and Eddie are boning, right?
Right.
So what? She's just like studying and working all the time? Mm-hmm. This is not realistic that she would not have heard about this.
It's not. And furthermore, Audrey getting all bent out of shape about like, well, I thought you would have had an ex conversation. Like, Pacey and Joey never talk about when they dated. Like, almost virtually never.
Yeah. There's maybe one acknowledgement every 4 episodes, if that.
If that.
They certainly don't act like it.
No. So that also feels like it came out of nowhere. Like, what are you, exactly what are you mad about? Because... It's not this. It's not like they were rubbing their exiness in your face all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the cafeteria, Jen notes how much Jack's apartment looks like the one in My Two Dads, which is true. You can see in the visual aids, I found a shot of it, but it's random. Like, of all the references, why? I don't even think this would be a show either of those characters would remember based on their age.
Yeah.
When they all sit, David casually suggests doing something later, and Jack breezily accepts with a point and a tongue click, like, more like that, I guess. Jen complains about how easy it is for them as gay guys and how much sneakier and more careful girls have to be with straight guys. She brings up the Hell's Bells show, and Jack tells David they should go to that and then do something else on their own afterward. And when Jen tries to glom herself and CJ onto those plans, clip five.
No. We should definitely ask him to come. It'd be fun if we all went. It's just, CJ doesn't really date.
What? Does he just jump straight into the sack? Coffee to condoms? What are we talking about?
No. You see, I mean, he doesn't date at all. His life is sort of complicated. I shouldn't really talk about it.
Whatever it is, I'm sure it's not that bad. Come on, bring it on, please.
Jen!
You stop using my friend as your deep throat, please? Forget I said that one.
Surprisingly risque to acknowledge what that reference is.
Yeah, although it doesn't quite fit, but I'm not going to, you know, Watergate explain. Unless CJ's dark secret is that he gave himself a bilateral orchidectomy while he was drunk. They're really making way too much of this. Like,
yeah.
Could someone get to a fireworks factory or a factory of any kind? Mm-hmm. Just one black cat? Anything.
Yeah, I was truly waiting for a revelation of, like, he's in divinity school, like he's on his way to being a Catholic priest, because otherwise, right. Like, I don't know why any of this would be such a secret.
No. And I mean, he's not especially secretive about the sobriety part,
right?
Or at least in this episode, he isn't. I don't think he really has been in the past either. But like, okay, like, mm-hmm. Were you incarcerated?
Yeah.
And then it keeps just being it. The show acts like we've learned something about him and we absolutely haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way a college girl who looks like Michelle Williams is going to keep trying with this. Jack is right. Move on.
Yes. But also it feels like stuff got cut. Like when you say he's been open about the sobriety, he's like, yeah, that was off screen. Like it came up in an episode where she was like, I know you don't drink. I was like, we didn't know he didn't drink. Like that was treated as though it had been established. And then it didn't. So whatever else proceeds from that, like none of it is being well messaged, I'll say.
Yeah. And then also they're in this like very weird area, particularly vis-a-vis the A plot in this episode where it's like, which is it? They're all sitting around the bar where Joey works drinking 7-Up.
Mm-hmm.
Or they drink at college bars and have fake IDs like a lot of college students. Or it's this milkshakes and pie situation like it always was in 90210 until they turned 21, except for Donna Martin graduating.
Yeah.
They didn't think this through. Like, no. It's a college town, but they would also just go to dorm parties.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's the whole thing about like who has fakes and who's doing what drinking wise, other than Jack and the frat storyline.
Mm-hmm.
All of that has been very strange as well. Like when they show them drinking at Hell's Kitchen, there for the first few episodes, it was like, here are your ridiculously expensive sodas.
Yeah. Which is,
okay, got it. Like the WB censor said, you can't show them drinking too much. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But then don't set Joey's whole arc in a bar. It's exhausting. And it's really is like the writer's room was like, well, the actors are 21. Like, that's not.
Or.
It's not going to work.
Or they're like, well, of course they're drinking. They're in a college town and they're 19 and they're in college. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what people do. They figure it out. But it's maybe it's only allowed when it's shown to be a problem, like spoiler in this episode. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be.
That's when Jack notices CJ coming towards them. Jen pops up and asks CJ to the show, and he immediately accepts. And at this point, I have to assume he assumes that Jack told her that he's not interested, or he would do that, and he should stop accepting these invitations if he doesn't know that she understands what the situation is.
She can get in line. No judgment of Jen.
Yeah.
I don't understand what his fucking deal is, and especially with what's going to happen in upcoming episodes, I really, like, what? What are you?
Yeah. That's when Jen notices Freeman coming toward them, looking like he has to pee, she says. And she's right.
That's a really good assessment of his acting overall.
True. Jack peels off to talk to him. And outside on the patio, Freeman continues playing mind games. Clip 6.
I keep thinking about that first conversation we had.
when you said that this was the first time you'd felt motivated in a long while. I'd hate to think that I'd taken away the college experience you deserve.
Well, I'll keep on applying myself.
Next week is reading week, and after that there's finals, and after that, well, I'm gone. It would mean a lot to me if you were there tonight, Jack.
I'll think about it.
Don't. He's so weird.
Yeah, and you're getting together with this other guy. Like, just focus on David. He seems like he understands what his deal is. Unlike
yes,
Freeman.
And also is adorable.
At the bar that night, Eddie flirts with Joey about his bartending, then asks how Hetson's class was. She says the usual. He told her she would never understand gravity's rainbow. Eddie says that's unfair. Diane Chambers was well-read enough to school Hetson. Joey doesn't agree with his Sam-Diane analogy on the basis that Sam made more money than Diane did. I couldn't follow this at all.
No, me neither.
And Eddie makes more money than the Worthington students who are wealthy enough not to work, but that doesn't put them in the same bracket, he says. On cue, Audrey materializes and asks Eddie for a shot, because she's got the shakes. When Joey touches her arm to get her attention, Audrey gives her a huge hug and then orders a round for the future boyfriends of America, who cheer. Eddie asks who Audrey's parents had to buy off to get her into Worthington, and Joey comments that he's more acerbic than usual tonight, notably not saying he basically hit the nail on the head, Audrey-wise. Eddie hates working doubles, and clip 7.
And I don't like working with Sam.
No one to flirt with, huh?
Yeah, or clumsily insult, whichever you prefer.
Okay, is there a person on staff named Sam, or is this just extending the Cheers metaphor? Because I thought he was Sam. Like, either way, this is really bad writing.
What's her face is the Sam. Mm-hmm. Why can't I even remember her name?
Emma.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was like, Molly? Oh, no, that's Felicity. Wrong right. show.
Yes.
Basically the same character.
But she's not working tonight because she's in the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. And she wouldn't be the Sam. Mm-hmm. And then he'd be the Diane. Mm-hmm. All this is extremely stupid. I hate this episode. It's
very sloppy, like I said.
Yeah.
Joey takes off to stroke Audrey's ego, but promises to return. Over to the book party, where Freeman greets Jack with a hearty handshake. Seeing them together makes it even more baffling that they cast Sebastian Spence to play Freeman, because in addition to not being very good and having weird hair, he's half a head shorter than Kerr Smith. Like, mm-hmm. It feels like someone who has this function in the show should be taller than Jack. Sorry.
Yeah.
To be heightist. Whatever. Freeman and Jack chit-chat about the turnout and the colleagues who don't take Freeman's book or class seriously, clip 8.
Did you feel that way?
All things aside, did I ever seem less than riveted? Your wife must not be too psyched, moving to Chicago in the height of winter.
Actually, she's not going to make the move with me.
I'm sorry.
But let's not. I could talk in circles about where I went wrong, and a maudlin Freeman isn't going to do either of us any good.
Yeah.
So I got to ask, why did you decide to come? Don't you have somewhere to be, though?
No, I have some time.
That's great.
Why do
Truly
you have time
why?
For this bonehead?
Yeah.
Who refers to himself in the third person and, if I'm not mistaken, kicked off this conversation with, so class today, how about that?
Yeah.
What? Why are you? Why is this character?
I know.
Mrs. Freeman, congratulations.
Honestly, for so many reasons.
Yeah, for real.
Back to Hell's Kitchen. Jen is alone on her side of the booth, apologizing to David about what's keeping Jack, probably his hair, she guesses, while CJ looks bored. When David goes to the bar, Jen casually stretches her hands across the table to be closer to CJ's, but he does not touch them or any other part of her as she apologizes some more. And he says it's fine, he likes good company, and he's sure the band will be good. Jen talks up Audrey as a performer, and when he looks over at her doing more shots in her knot of guys, plus Joey looking real awkward, CJ asks how Audrey's been. Jen says she's been great or maybe just good. Why does he ask? CJ thinks she seems depressed. Jen says she doesn't look depressed, which, like, Jen, the question is how you haven't noticed this since you have been her exactly. Mm-hmm. Remember her? Why you had to start going to therapy in season 4? Anyway, CJ says Audrey might be working hard not to feel it or feel anything. Elsewhere, Jack calls David, apologizing for his lateness, explaining where he is and promising to be there after he's said one or two more profound things. David is totally chill. And then Joey's back at the bar trying to make post-shift plans with Eddie. He's about to accept when Audrey pops back up and demands a beer for the stage. Eddie can't let her take it up there, and she pouts at him and Joey so much and so obnoxiously that Eddie says she seems wasted already. Clip 9.
Well, whose fault is that?
Yours.
Yeah, well, you served me, sucker.
Yeah, and now I'm cutting you off. Looks like you're gonna have to listen to yourself sing sober. Sorry.
Come on, Eddie, I mean, it's not like she's going out driving. It's just, she's nervous.
Have you ever considered our asses might be on the line for serving underage people? Or did that just kind of slip your mind because you're not working enough?
What are you talking about? This is a college bar. I mean, you've never cared before.
So this is to our point earlier. Like,
yes.
Does this place have a manager? Because it seems like at the very least there would be some kind of like fig leaf policy that we're checking fake IDs. You have to show them and we have to pretend we think they're real.
Yeah. Even to have parties at my brother's studio space, like we had to have someone on the door checking IDs that someone was me. I was already too old for that shit 15 years ago, but every single time they rolled a UC in there and it was like, oh, hey, Joey, is it? I see that you're 40. And then the badge would come out and it's like, yes, we're fucking checking.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to be those people.
Right.
Whatever. Like, anyway. And a bar in a college town would have been sued by so many parents.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Eddie says he does care about an underage girl getting drunk and trashing the place on his watch, so he's cutting Audrey off. Clip 10.
Somebody needs to get laid.
Audrey.
Whatever. He clearly takes his job too seriously. Tell me something, Eddie. What's it like looking down the barrel of a gun and seeing a janitor's uniform and a bus pass?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're an angry, bitter drunk. Got it?
Yeah. Completely out of character for you. Mm-hmm. Audrey's downward curly Q continues. Thanks, writers.
Yeah. Also, Joey's reaction to this is just stare, not say like, what the fuck? That's rude or get her away or anything. She just is frozen. Audrey slurs that Joey will get her a beer, right? Joey, too sarcastically for the situation, says she's thinking no. Audrey bitches that this place is run by Donna Reed and Mr. Rogers, slamming her beer down on the bar, shattering the bottle. Eddie barks at Joey to get her out of there, but instead Emma appears, telling Audrey they're not warming up for a lark and ushering her away, chuckling at Courtney Love, which, like I said last time, that is what Audrey's giving now, not a compliment. Uh-huh. Left alone, clip 11.
Look, I'm not her keeper.
No, it's worse. Actually, you're her friend.
I mean, I'm kind of with him. Like, the least...
No.
Literally the least Joey could do is be like, that's shitty. Shut the fuck up. To her.
Yeah. And then, since that's your roommate and she has been cut off in a bar, I don't care if she has a show to play, whatever, it's not the fucking Palladium.
Yeah.
Get her in a cab, send her home, and put her in bed on her side between pillows.
Yep.
This is basic. You're not a freshman anymore. Come on.
Right. And this is not the first time you've been around Audrey when she's been drinking either.
Yeah, exactly.
Audrey takes the stage, yelling about the fascists that run this place and then launching into one way or another. The first verse goes well and everyone's into it. And then Audrey starts moshing into her bandmates, messing with Emma's cymbals, staggers into the crowd, singing a lot more tunelessly on the second verse, and eventually ends up dancing on the bar, kicking glasses at Eddie, throwing plates of fries, and ending by throwing a beer bottle at the wall that David and CJ have to duck to avoid, and then spits on the bar. not to victim blame, but the rest of the Hells Bells could have possibly ended this rampage sooner if they stopped playing, but they don't.
Yeah.
That's the most unrealistic part.
Especially that the woman on drums, who,
Emma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is also the manager of the bar, Molly.
Well, she works there. I don't think she's the manager. Yes.
Melissa.
Uh-huh.
Sure. I'll just do all girls. You know, Stephanie. Right. Like, just do a rim shot, get up and be like, security, which mm-hmm. if it's a weekend, you have that. Sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone get her in a fireman's carry and get her out. And then stuff a bill for all that glassware down her cavernous cleavage. Mm-hmm. Am I the only one who knows how to be a fucking degenerate in this place? Jesus.
After commercials, Audrey's in the bathroom at Hell's Kitchen, puking into the filthy toilet while Joey holds her hair back.
This is now the third time that we've gotten a God's Eye toilet barf shot mm-hmm. on the show.
Yeah.
Someone really loves those on this teen drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know it was worth borrowing a dolly from somewhere, but apparently it was. Someone had to do it.
Yes. We all also saw Trainspotting. Please stop.
Also, maybe if Joey wasn't spending so much time boringly flirting with Eddie, she could clean up the bathroom once in a while, because this place is it's gross.
Yeah. Also, who doesn't have a spare hair elastic on them? Come on.
Right.
No one scouted?
Mm-mm. When Audrey's pretty sure she's empty, Joey uselessly asks how much she had to drink, and Audrey says, obviously, she doesn't remember. Joey says this isn't like her, and Audrey shoots back that she could have been an alcoholic since childhood for all Joey knows about it. And hasn't Joey ever gotten drunk? Joey has, generally when she's been upset about something. So is Audrey upset about something? Clip 12.
I feel like I don't want to have a soulful exchange about how I'm bad and you're good, if that's what you mean.
You know, that's not where I was going.
Oh, like hell it wasn't. You know, you've mastered the art of holier than thou, Joey. You know, don't feed me a bunch of crap about how you don't need to drink or do drugs to have fun. Because I've given it some thought, and you know what? I've never seen you have fun a day in my life. Except for that whole singing thing, and even then you were just imitating me.
Okay, you know what? Maybe we should just save this for the morning, because we don't want to say anything we'll regret.
God, will you stop protecting me? I'm so sick of living in this little antiseptic universe you've all created. It's like all we do is we sit around and we drink soda and we talk about how glad we are that we're all friends, which is ridiculous, Joey, because what kind of friend wouldn't know that I broke up with my boyfriend?
You know what, Audrey? I said I was sorry about that.
You know what? I don't even care. I just don't want someone who's completely dropped out of my life suddenly judging it. I mean, did you even notice that I was depressed before I upset your little boyfriend from Southie?
Eddie is not my boyfriend.
Right. I think it's really friggin' pathetic that that's the only thing you had the need to comment on.
MVP. MVP. Rip her up.
Yeah, but it also feels like this is belatedly like someone in the writer's room was like, wait, did we remember to show that Audrey told Joey about the breakup? Like, this is only the episode after it happened. Like, it just feels like there should have been some kind of buildup of like Audrey waiting for Joey to ask her anything about herself and then Joey not doing that and then Audrey being mad about it. Like,
yeah,
Joey can't know things you don't tell her. And if the issue is that you think she's self-involved, that needs to be part of the story before this.
Yeah, that's true. And look, I'm not excusing anything, but self-medicating actually is a value-neutral term. Mm. Medication is good. Look, I understand they're underage. She behaved inappropriately, but adding in these like gratuitously cruel classist remarks to make us side with Joey,
still
not enough.
No.
She could have been ranting for 20 minutes about how she's only eating raisins for the rest of her life, and now she's a Republican, and I'd be like, I don't know. She's making some good points.
Yeah.
They were grapes once.
It's true. Audrey is not a snob like this.
No.
Like, this is all brand new.
And we got the impression, based on her mom and other stuff we heard about her life, or like her adolescence in California, right?
Yes. Yeah, she's from L.A.
What's that woman's name again? Emma. Elmo? That she was accustomed to partying and could handle it.
Yeah, right.
So this is exhausting. This is, you know, this is desperation is what this is.
Then, speaking of desperation, Freeman and Jack are leaving the party, the former concerned about the latter making it to his other hang. But since it's Dawson's Creek, he has to say it like this. Clip 13.
I didn't mean to keep you in there with my boring scholastic jabber.
Shut up!
Oh my God! Everyone involved in that line, go stand in the yard in the rain and think about what you've done.
Jack says he wouldn't have stayed if he wasn't enjoying it. And Freeman says, clip 14.
I'm glad you came.
Hey, he just said he was having fun. Don't flatter yourself.
Yeah, sorry. Seriously.
I'm not really sorry. There is more. Clip 15.
There's a part of my book that I wrote after class earlier this semester. You had made a comment in class about the asexuality of good guys in film. It was a small thing, I remember, but it sparked something. And I thought, no one does that anymore. It sparked something. You were right. Not just in class, you were right about a lot of things.
I wasn't waiting for you to tell me that, if that's why you think I'm standing out here in the cold.
Then why are you?
It's sad that you're probably the most popular professor here, most inspirational. And yet you felt you had to hide that part of yourself that's real. But you know what? However long it took you to get here, at least you did. And that's why I'm standing out here in the cold.
A week ago, I was this unavailable married man. There used to be about 6 different versions of myself I presented to the world. And now there's just this. And now I kind of wish I'd noticed it sooner. More than I'd noticed you. Maybe it's too late. You tell me.
I'll tell you. It's been too late. You are boring and weird. Go to Chicago. Do not come back here.
Yeah.
Also quit acting.
Also that. I mean, it's too late, but it's also kind of too early in a way, because Jack is 19, as far as we know. Like...
Yeah.
Furthermore, like, leaving aside the whole what we've been saying this whole time, where it's like, if you want to hit on a guy, don't hit on a student, go and meet someone you don't already know and figure it out that way. But the way he's like, there used to be all these different versions and now it's just me. Like, are you saying you came out like this week? Because then it's definitely too early for all of
us. And also, you're presumably getting a divorce from your pregnant wife.
Right.
You're Billy Crudup.
Right.
Great job.
At the very least, you're separated. You know, like one step at a time, my guy. Jack seems like he's considering doing something, but shakes his head that he can't. The person that he's kept waiting all night is someone with whom the timing actually is right, so he has to go, and Freeman looks shattered. Bye. You will not be missed. You're not good.
No, my God. Thank God. Good job, Jack.
Back at the bar, Jen's on the floor picking up broken glass with CJs, which, like, guys, if anyone's walking around this dump in bare feet, they deserve whatever happens to them. This is
not. Also, your overpriced sodas paid for this not to be your problem.
Jen says it seems like CJ was right about Audrey, even though she had seemed to Jen like she was confident and well-adjusted and made the rest of their friend group seem dramatic. Clip 16.
It's hard to keep putting up a front like that once people expect it from you. You know, you wake up in the morning, you don't feel so great, so you need something to take off the edge. And that's what I used to do.
I took my first drink when I was 12.
When I hit high school and I was shaking by noon if I wasn't drunk. So rather than thinking like, well, hey, that can't be normal, I just keep drinking. Provided a steady, numb ride through those awkward teen years. It's tough to get off of.
Yeah, but you did. So you must have done something right.
Yeah, I hit rock bottom. You know, a surefire way to snap out of something is to wake up from a blackout realizing that you were the guy at the party who told everybody exactly what they didn't want to hear. And then alienating the one person that you cared about. So there's that, which is why I don't date anymore.
I don't think you have to be so hard on yourself. We all mess up.
Jen, you really don't want to know that much about me, I promise.
Then leave the television program. Yes. Did you kill someone with a motor vehicle?
Yeah.
No. Are you a ghost? Are you a vampire? Are you bigger than a bread box? Fucking spit it out! Who died? I can't with this, star. I can't.
At the very least, stop leading her on. Like, yeah. Start saying no to her invitations. Like, start detaching. Because you know already she doesn't just want to be your friend. So stop.
Yeah, stop.
Joey comes out of the bathroom to stand around uselessly while Eddie sweeps up the wreckage of Audrey's performance. Joey apologizes. She didn't know things were going to go that way. Clip 17.
That wasn't your problem, right? You weren't working, so why should it matter that your friends were going to trash the place?
I mean, it was one friend, and she was kind of right that he was the one who kept serving her. Just saying.
I mean, and honestly, in this situation, given that Joey isn't working, I think the priority is to find Audrey and make sure she doesn't need medical attention.
Mm-hmm. They keep going around. She doesn't know why he's been pushing her away all night. He doesn't know whether he's talking to Joey, his bartending friend, or Joey who runs with the Worthington Elite. Clip 18.
Look, you just learn a lot about people when you see them with their friends. Okay.
You see me with my friends in here all the time. How is this different?
It's different when your friends are flaunting state drinking laws and insulting me to my face.
Nope, they're flouting those laws, brainiac.
It also sounded like flaunking. I was like, oh, is that a is that a Boston thing? I never heard that before. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Also, furthermore, you know who else is flouting state drinking laws? You, by serving someone you know is underage. Just saying.
They're all sophomores.
Yeah. When Joey defensively fake apologizes, you can see in the visual aids the many very defensive faces she makes in this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
He shoots back that what would have made a difference is her defending him, which is totally fair in my opinion, but Joey feels like fighting, I guess, saying Audrey was just drunk like the patrons they deal with all the time. Clip 19.
Why should I make you feel bad for letting your friend ride out her high-class problems? I should be used to it by now, right? My mistake was just thinking you were different from the rest of them.
How can you say that when you've barely even tried to find out? I don't know, maybe you're just threatened because I tried to find out more about you, but that's just because trying to help you.
I know what you're trying to do, Joey, and I don't think you should bother. I don't think either of us should, because I've been thinking about it. And this little dance we do, it's nothing more than that. It's just flirting.
You don't think there's anything more here?
I don't think there's anything good.
Agree.
Yeah, you
lead
are
lead the show.
So
both
right.
of you, actually.
But that's life in Dawson's Creek season 6, my man. Welcome to it.
Also, have you noticed no Dawson in this episode?
Oh my God, yes.
Which actually it needed.
I can't believe I said that. Leaving Hell's Kitchen with CJ, Jen makes sure David will be okay and they're on his own so we can find out he's still waiting for Jack, at least at the moment. Jen didn't think CJ was going to come out tonight since she knew this wasn't his thing, but he says that despite what she apparently thinks about him, he does socialize. Again, this is the kind of talk that seems to me would be coming from a divinity student on his way to being a priest, but never mind. But he doesn't date, Jen says, and he does not deny that. Again, my point. She reminds him that he told her she should change her mind about herself. She thinks he should do the same thing. And the camera stays on her as she gives him the look, so we have no idea this time how nonverbally encouraging he's being before she leans in to try to kiss him. And he stops her, saying he can't, but it has nothing to do with her. She's beautiful and great. He just can't. She tries to stay chipper and lets him get her a cab. And as she gets in, he makes sure she'll be okay. Nothing a little sleep and regret won't cure, she says. And when her cab pulls away, he looks across the street and sees Audrey sitting on the curb smoking a cig. And he comes toward her. She announces she only had a couple of puffs. He doesn't care if she smokes, and she lets us all know that she has sobered up since she puked. Clip 20.
Well, that's shocking, because I thought for sure there was some sort of LoJack system on me, and anyone within a mile radius was going to chastise me for partaking in any sort of substance. You know, I wonder if sugar's okay, because I have some sweet tarts in my pocket, and I am not afraid to eat them.
Stop talking. Go home. Go to bed.
Yeah, seriously.
Give yourself a break.
Mm-hmm.
CJ pleasantly says people have been hard on her tonight, and she drawls that it was fine when she was drunk, but now she's not, and everything's gone to hell. CJ says her friends are just trying to let her know they care. She declares that she's not a drunk. They're in college. Don't people ever have a sucky week they just want to forget? Clip 21.
Does it make you feel better when you drink?
I feel nothing, which is ideal.
How long you want to keep that up for?
I don't know. I don't know.
If you want to talk or...
You don't have to sit with me. Really.
You don't have to say that. If I don't want to be here, I'd have walked away already.
Okay. So we'll sit. I don't want to talk for a while.
I think that was actually pretty good. That she's like, look, I don't know. Yes, I'm self-medicating. Yes, it's binge drinking.
Yeah.
This can be temporary. But also, if they had idea one, what they were actually doing with the CJ character, I would take this more seriously. Like, all right, this is an interesting opportunity to talk about people who are trying to stay in sobriety in a party school environment. Sure. But it's Dawson's Creek. So, like, move the ball or kick it to another field, please.
Yeah. Also, it's Dawson's Creek. If you wanted to stop talking, you are on the wrong show. Not how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Dawson was like, I just need to lie down for a week. Goodbye.
My throat hurts.
I know.
This is when CJ, the knight in shining armor, takes a pair of gloves out of his jacket and hands them to Audrey. And sometime later, David's walking out of Hell's Kitchen when Jack pulls up in a cab, babbling apologies and saying he can't believe David's still here. And dear writers, when you have already established that they both have phones, which we saw in this episode, you can't also do this without a line about Jack's phone having died or something. Like, if he got in a cab to go meet David, he would call from the cab to make sure David was still there. Anyway, David jokingly asks if Jack was hoping he would have left, but Jack is relieved. He kept missing his window of opportunity to depart the party. David kind of waits, looking pleasantly expectant, and clip 22.
I'm not being too convincing, am I?
Look, Jack, I'm not so naive coming into this that I didn't expect there to be some baggage. I mean, you can't really move into a new relationship until you know the old one isn't going to lurch up from the dead one last time. So... do what you gotta do.
I did. I mean, I didn't have to.
You don't have to report to me.
Well, you're right about the baggage. It's just, you know, before we got into this, I just wanted to make sure that I was done repeating my mistakes. And I am.
Yeah, that works for me.
Cool.
Okay. Are we really supposed to think they never had a conversation to the effect of, this prof is trying to fuck me? Because
yeah.
I don't.
What?
Like, I just feel like it would have come up. But whatever.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's in the deleted scenes.
Perhaps.
Where they're just in bed together and it's like, so get this.
Yeah. Anyway, they banter about why David stayed. David alluding to the crazy performance Jack missed. And clip 23.
So this one's going to be tough to top.
Oh!
Not if you're doing it right.
Maybe not that tough. He seems pretty receptive. I don't know. Sorry. After sunrise, Joey sits up and sees that Audrey's bed has not been slept in. And it's kind of hilarious that the same episode is showing us Audrey violently hitting rock bottom the night after she apparently made her bed with military tidiness. Like...
yeah.
She didn't even leave all the clothes that she had pulled out lying around. Audrey is going to be okay, I think.
Yeah.
Hours later, Audrey apparently still has not been home, but when there's a knock at the door, it's not her, it's Eddie. when he peers in and comments that this is how the other half lives, Joey gets her guard up, but he's come on business. Audrey left her wallet at Hell's Kitchen the night before. Joey tries to get rid of him, but he stops her, sighing before he admits that last night he said things he didn't mean. He might have some unresolved anger towards society that has nothing to do with her, he says. Joey says that almost resembled an apology. Clip 24.
I've been thinking about it all night.
What's it?
This, me, you. Didn't feel good.
What part?
The not pursuing it part.
You know, pushing away usually comes when there's something to push away from.
Oh, please, Joe, I would love to get to the point where I can resent you if you'll only give me the chance.
We can't keep doing this.
What?
This saying things we don't mean, dancing around the subject. I mean, don't you find it maddening?
Well, yeah, but I meant that thing about the resentment. Okay. All right, I get what you're talking about. So what would you say if you said what you meant?
Oh, my God. Tara, I am 73 years old. They haven't even fucked.
I know. Instead of, like, pulling him into her empty giant dorm room and ordering him to strip, she uptightly says she wants to go on an actual date with him without the obstacles of preteen girls and drunk roommates. What would he say if he said what he meant? Clip 25.
I'd like to get to know you and prove myself wrong.
About?
Thinking you represent everything I hate.
Brother, good luck.
Just hate fuck each other and then move on with your lives. I won't be around to see it. I have died of old age and boredom.
There's more. Clip 26.
I think you just might represent everything I'm missing.
Good dialogue? I don't think so.
A reason to live? Yeah. Anyway. No.
To dust I have returned. Goodbye.
They shake hands on it.
Oh my God. They shake hands.
They don't even peck. Like, not even peck. And also, as Sarah already said, whose creek is this? Because his ass is not in this episode at all.
No.
So strange.
Yeah. Which I'm sure he was like doing the Snoopy dance to discover.
Sure. Anyway. That's it. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
David.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, David. He was realistic about, like, sometimes you just need to put some old business to bed before you start with the new business. And he waited for Jack, but not too long and wasn't doormatty or passive aggressive about it.
Yeah.
And he is cute.
Yes. I agree with all of that. He didn't get all passive aggressive, like, oh, nice of you to join. He's like, you were somewhere. You kept me apprised. I could have left if I wanted to, and I didn't. We're all good. Mm-hmm. I like how drama free he is.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Least valuable player. I mean, Audrey was bad, but that feels a little obvious. I think Joey is kind of worse for not intervening.
Yeah. And by selling out both Audrey and Eddie and Molly, Emma, I will get it. I swear to God, I will get it. But I'm going to say Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get your act together.
Yeah.
Be thankful that this idiot fictional university gave you a giant book party in some cavernous room of the library when you are clearly the most boring, stilted J.D. Vancey professor they've ever had in this place. Give your wife everything. Tie a bandana to a stick, go to Chicago, and do not fucking come back here.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I so mad? He's not a real person, and also, I'm dead. I don't have to care about any of this anymore. Next time on Again With This, there's no doubt about it. The concert that serves as the staging ground for credits cast melodrama, including ticket mix-ups, betrayal hookups, romantic rival dust-ups, the works, is not hella good for anyone. As for our visual aids, well, they don't speak, but that's why you should check them out, perhaps. We assemble the most significant screenshots and GIFs for every episode of this podcast, and they are all on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. That's also where the archives live, so come on through. I'm boring television jabber Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is tough to top Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is kind of done reliving it. Talk to you next time.
I didn't mean to keep you in there with my boring scholastic jabber. No.
Oh my God. This was a sweeps episode. Unacceptable.